News of the Times, Murderous Mondays, Scotland Yard Casebook, The Regent Square Murder. Welcome to News of the Times. In today's episode, it is 1917 London. In the early morning hours, the workers of London begin their daily work. A sweeper in Regent Square notices a bit of material which appears bloodstained. Upon closer examination, he sees a foot and a half a leg protruding. Scotland Yard were immediately called in to the Regent Square murder, which was remarkable for its sheer brutality. The head and the hands were missing from the corpse, and the parts had been disjointed by someone who knew what they were doing. This fascinating case was the talk of London. On the body was a cryptic note saying Bloody Belgian, but with unique spelling. We take a look at the brutal murder, the Scotland Yard investigation, the capture and the outcome of the Regent Square murder in today's episode of Murderous Mondays. We hope you enjoy the show. On the 2nd of November in the early hours, a street cleaner in posh Regent Square notices a bundle in sacking that has been placed over the railings of the gardens. Investigating closer, he opens the sacking to find blood-stained sheeting with what looks to be body parts of a decapitated woman. Other than an expensive vest, she is without clothing. From the Sheffield Independent, the 3rd of November 1917, Headless Woman, Grim Mystery of a London Square. The mutilated body of murder was found in Regent Square in London yesterday, and the most able detectives of Scotland Yard are at present engaged in trying to trace the murderer. The crime is of a particularly brutal nature. The murderer, after killing his victim, cut the body and severed the head from the trunk. The body, which has not yet been identified, is that of a woman of about 30 years of age. Just inside some railings enclosing a garden, a man was attracted by seeing a white sheet and pieces of sacking. The sheet was bloodstained, and protruding from it was a woman's foot and half her leg. He at once raised the alarm, and after removing the sacking, the police lifted the corner of the sheet and disclosed the terribly mutilated body of a woman. The body was lying on its side, said an eyewitness, and one leg, which had been severed at the knee, was alongside. There was no head, and both hands, which had been cut off at the wrists, were also missing. But for vest or chemise, beautifully embroidered, the dead woman was unclothed. The police found also on the sheet a piece of paper which had been written in pencil two words, Bloody Belgian. That the murderer is a person of considerable anatomical knowledge is certain. The head and limbs have been severed with a sharp instrument by a skilled hand. Death could not have occurred hours before the discovery, for rigor mortis had not yet set in, and the blood on the sheet and limb were quite fresh. Inquiries towards midnight elicited the fact that no arrests had been made and no clue likely to lead to an immediate solution of the mystery had developed. Scotland Yard are called in, and with forensics and investigative methodology, they are able to quickly develop leads to find the murderer, despite not being able to yet identify the body without the head and the hands. From the Pall Mall Gazette, the 3rd of November 1917, murder mystery deepens. Three important new clues. Who was she? Police describe the victim. Deep though the mystery surrounding the Regent Square murder still is, the police today are more hopeful of solving the problem confronting them. Three very important circumstances of the crime tend to lead their inquiries along definite lines. These clues may be set out as follows. 1. The sheeting, which contained the decapitated body and the outer covering of sacking, were many yards of textiles known as long cloth, a stuff practically exclusively used by butchers. The fabric, which is of the muslin variety, is used in the butchering trade for wrapping carcasses for storage. Evidently, this long cloth, a piece which bears a circular trademark stamp, Argentine La Plata Cold Storage, had been swathed around the sheet for the purpose of keeping outer covering sacking as clean as possible, and very obviously, too, had been added hastily as an afterthought. 2. The amputation of the limbs has been performed in a manner suggesting the work of a butcher used to work of jointing beasts, rather than that of a surgeon. The limbs had been disjointed rather than surgically amputated, yet disjointed with such skill as would suggest a practiced hand. 3. Clinging to the interior of one of the covering parts of the remains were lumps of bran, which is, of course, largely used by farmers for fattening sheep. Many of these bran sacks, when they are emptied, pass on from the farmer to the meat market and thence to a butcher's shop. And as the police have the number of this sack, D3118, they are hopeful that they may succeed in tracing its recent history. In addition to the number, the label on the sack bears the inscription Joseph Rank Limited, Premier Flour Mills, Broad Brand, Victoria Dock, London. The laundry mark. The laundry mark on the white twill sheets in which the remains of the body were wrapped also affords a clue of interest, and already the police have received certain information in this connection. The mark, which was in cotton, was a roughly formed 11H, and this morning at one laundry not far from Regent Square, the proprietress discovered amongst the linen waiting to be called for a package containing several garments bearing this mark. "It is not our mark," she explained, "but two of my customers living at the one address have most of their linen marked in this way. They usually call in midweek for their clean linen, but as yet, this week, they have not come in." At another laundry in the district, visited by the police, the same mark was discovered on a small handkerchief stitched in blue. This article was part of a parcel which had been in the laundry some time to be called for, but visiting the address supplied by the proprietress, the police found that the owner of the linen was alive and in no possible way connected with the affair. At Scotland Yard, the Pall Mall Gazette representative was asked to describe minutely the sheet in which the body was found, in the hope that someone may be able to throw some light upon the mystery. "It is 8 foot by 6 inches and made of twill. The mark 11H, it is suggested, is possibly not that of a laundry at all, but the private mark of a lodging or boarding house, or even a private hotel." The police also issued a constructive description of the victim. The victim described, "She's about 5 foot in height and was evidently in good health," said one of the officers engaged on the case. "Obviously, she had lived in good circumstances, for not only is the body clean and well nourished, but the toenails have evidently been regularly pedicured." A woman has been reported missing who fits the description of the torso found in Regent Square. Additionally, by following the trail of clues found at the scene, the police are led to the home of a French butcher as a possible suspect. He is visited and brought in for questioning. From the Pall Mall Gazette, the 5th of November 1917, man detained pending inquiries. The mystery of Regent Square is still unsolved, though the police are rapidly developing a number of important clues. The body of the victim, it is officially stated today, has not been definitively identified. It is known that a Mrs. Gerard is missing from an address in the vicinity of Munster Square, and the police are trying to trace her. The man detained is a butcher. The circumstances under which the man was detained are described by the London news agency as follows. Chief Inspector Wensley and Detective Inspector Ashley went to his house in Charlotte Street. The man himself answered the knock at the door. "We are police officers," the detective said, "and are making inquiries in reference to the murder of a woman, part of whose remains were found on Friday morning. We propose to detain you on suspicion of having been concerned in it." The man answered readily, "I know nothing about it. I'm innocent." He was told that he would have to accompany the officers to Bow Street, pending inquiries. Meanwhile, detectives are pursuing certain lines of investigation, and it is anticipated that it will shortly be definitely establishing that the dead woman was the wife of a French soldier named Gerard, who had been missing from her apartments near Munster Square since last Wednesday. To escape air raids, Mrs. Gerard was of a nervous disposition, and it was originally thought that she had left London in order to escape air raids. Nobody, however, seems to have received any tidings of her since she left, and the police are coming to the conclusion that the body is hers, as its description tallies in almost every respect with that of the missing woman. Describing Mrs. Gerard, a neighbour said, "I do not think she was particularly happy. Sometimes she seemed to me as if she had been crying for hours. She had a depressed expression, and whenever she spoke to me, I could not help being struck with the mournfulness of her conversation. Once or twice I have seen her in the company of a middle-aged man who, she said, was a relative of hers." Scarred Hands story. Mr. Morgan, a dairyman of Langford Street, close to Munster Square, said, "Madame Gerard was a pretty little woman with a mass of fair hair. She was often absent for a few days at a time, and on her return stated that she had been visiting her husband in France. On several occasions, she exhibited her hands to various people, including my wife. These hands were heavily scarred, apparently from burns. Neither the hands nor the head of the victim has yet been discovered." Living in the same basement as the butcher under remand is a 30-ish old woman, also a French speaker, and widow named Bertha Roche. Both Voisin and Roche are reminded. In the meantime, Scotland Yard combs through their two-room basement, and there, in a washtub, they find the head and hands of a woman, suspected of being the missing body parts of Mademoiselle Gerard. From the Pall Mall Gazette, the 7th of November, 1917, The Square Murder. Man and woman in court. Inspector's story. Voisin's voluntary statement. Following upon the inquest revelations in connection with the headless and dismembered body found in Regent Square, Bloomsbury, last Friday, Louis-Marie Joseph Voisin, stableman aged 50 of Charlotte Street, Fitzroy Square, and Bertha Roche, aged 31, housekeeper also of Charlotte Street, were charged at Marlborough Street today with being concerned together in the murder of Emmeline Gerard. Voisin preceded his companion into the dock. Both had spent the night in Tottenham Court Road police station. The small court was uncomfortably crowded, the space allotted to the public being filled with spectators. The male prisoner was wearing what appeared to be drab-coloured butcher's overall and a pair of black leggings. He is a man of heavy build and medium height, with dark, heavy moustache. His companion is slim and of pale complexion. She was wearing a dark grey raincoat and a black hat trimmed with white roses. Both prisoners were allowed to be seated, and between them in the dock sat a police officer. Mr. Barrington Matthews defended the woman and the man was unrepresented. Inspector's story. Chief Detective Inspector Wensley, Scotland Yard, at once entered the witness box, and his evidence was interpreted sentence by sentence into French for the benefit of the accused. He said, "At about 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, November the 3rd, I went with Divisional Detective Inspector to the first floor of number 50 Munster Square, where the deceased woman, Madame Gerard, occupied two rooms. In consequence, what we saw and what we believed, we went with Superintendent McCarthy to 101 Charlotte Street, and we saw the two prisoners who are cohabiting and who occupy a basement at that address. Superintendent McCarthy spoke to them, and Vossin then accompanied Divisional Detective Inspector Ashley to Bow Street Police Station. On Sunday, with Inspector Ashley, I took a statement from Vossin with the aid of Detective Sergeant Reed acting as an interpreter. On Monday, November the 5th, I caused Madame Roche to be brought to Bow Street Police Station with Detective Sergeant Cooper and Detective Reed, the same interpreter. I took a statement from her. After that statement had been taken, I went to 101 Charlotte Street and there saw in a small tub, which stood in a larger one in a cellar connected with the basement, the head and hands of a woman, which had just been discovered by Sergeant Collins. A voluntary statement. While these gruesome details were being related to the female prisoner, trembled. Inspector Wensley continued, they have since been found belonging to the mutilated body which was found in Regent Square the morning of November the 2nd. Yesterday I conveyed the prisoners from Bow Street, Tottenham Court Road Police Station and charged them with the willful murder of Madame Gerard. That charge was interpreted to them by Sergeant Quantrell. They made a reply in French to him. Later, Vincent made a voluntary statement which was interpreted and written by Detective Sergeant Reed, and Vincent signed it. This was all the evidence Inspector Wensley proposed to offer at this stage, and the magistrate inquired if the accused wished to put any questions. Through the interpreter, Vincent replied, I repeat what I say and I said last night. Mr. Denman responded, you will have plenty of opportunities for going into that. All I want to know at present is whether you wish to ask any questions about the arrest. Vincent replied in the negative, and Mr. Barrington Matthews reserved any questions which he might wish to put on behalf of the woman, and 7 days' remand was ordered. The husband of the deceased, Madame Gerard, is found and brought to London for help with Scotland Yard's investigations. He confirms that he knew Monsieur Vossin, indeed his wife, the now deceased Madame Gerard, supposedly worked for him at some time. Items found in the possession of Monsieur Vossin and Bertha Roche are brought forward and identified by Monsieur Gerard as having belonged either to himself or his now deceased wife. From the Pall Mall Gazette, the 12th of November 1917, The Square Murder, resumed inquest on the dead Frenchman. Mr. Walter Schroeder, the St. Pancras coroner today resumed the inquest on Mrs. Emmeline Gerard, a French subject, whose mutilated body was found in Regent Square, Gray's Inn Road, on the morning of November the 8th, and in connection with which a man and a woman, also French subjects, are on remand charged with murder. Detective Sergeant McBride produced a book containing 18 photographs taken by him of Regent Square 101 Charlotte Street, where the accused resided, and the house in Munster Square where Mrs. Gerard lived. Another Scotland Yard official produced plans of the basement of the Charlotte Street house and the cellar where the head and hands of the dead woman were found. The coroner's officer called Mr. Gerard, and a smart-looking man attired in black stepped into the witness box. He gave his name as Manuel Julian Gerard and his evidence in perfect English. He said he was a private in the regiment now fighting in France. He was previously a cook. His wife was 30 years of age, and they had been married about 7 years and had no family. He had been in France since July 1916. When he left England, his wife was residing at 30 Munster Square, occupying two rooms on the first floor. She had not many friends, and he had only one male friend who visited the house. His wife communicated with him every other day after he left for France, and in August 1916, she told him by letter that she was working as a cook in a small restaurant or shop in Charlotte Street. Later, she wrote that she had obtained work at 101 Charlotte Street, where she is employed by a Monsieur Vossin. Latterly, his wife's letters were not so frequent. In them, she occasionally mentioned Vossin, saying how good he was to her. She said she was working, but no longer in Vossin's employment. She occasionally mentioned the name of a woman named Marguerite, whom he met once during his visit to England. He identified belonging to either to himself or his wife a gentleman's gold watch and a chain, a silver matchbox, a lady's gold watch, a gold necklace, a gold ring with a single diamond, a plain gold wedding ring, a lady's small diamond ring, and a lady's purse bag. He also identified two post office saving bank books in his own name and the other in his wife's. Both books were kept at 30 Munster Square. He next identified a brooch comprised of three gilt threepenny pieces, a purse belonging to his wife, and three keys which belonged to him. A black skirt and a pair of white shoes he was shown at Scotland Yard belonged, he said, to his wife, and a hearth rug with a couple of holes in it used to be beside his bed at Munster Square. Scotland Yard's investigations continue as the two prisoners are kept remanded. A picture is emerging of motive with the discovery of several items belonging to Monsieur and Madame Gerard, discovered on the premises of the couple. The motive is further compounded with highly affectionately termed warm postcards found in the possession from Madame Gerard and Monsieur Vossin, as well as an IOU for £50, worth over £4,000 in 2024, signed by Monsieur Vossin to Madame Gerard. From the Pall Mall Gazette, the 28th of November 1917, the sack murder, police discover, and IOU. Louis Voisin and Bertha Roche were again brought up at Marlborough Street today, charged with being concerned in the death of Emmeline Gerard, whose mutilated body was found in Regent Square Gardens this morning on the morning of the 1st inst. Voisin, who is still unrepresented, dipped briskly into the dock, but Roche was very pale and showed signs of much weakness. Mr. Rouse, wife of the leaseholder of No. 50 Manchester Square, where Madame Gerard and her husband lived for over a year, and her daughter, both gave evidence as to Vincent paying frequent visits to the deceased after her husband had gone to the front. He usually went there in a trap. Miss Rouse stated that 2 days after the body was found, Vincent came to the house and said Madame Gerard had gone to the country for a fortnight. Witness related that he searched Madame Gerard's house and found what appeared to be a lover's postcard. He also found an IOU signed Louis Vincent, and in his opinion, the signature was the same as that which appeared on the prisoner's statement. The document was read as follows. London, August 15th, 1917. I acknowledge having received the sum of £50 from Madame Emmeline Gerard for a period of 3 months, from August the 15th, 1917, to November the 15th, 1917, for which I have paid her as interest a sum of £2 paid in advance. Louis Vincent, 101 Charlotte Street. With the expensive jewellery taken that had been in the possession of Madame Gerard and the IOU for a considerable sum, it is easy to piece together a financial motive for the murder. But what of a possible romantic motive? Famed pathologist Dr. Spilsbury gives evidence of the injuries inflicted on Madame Gerard. Spilsbury also confirms that the items he had tested, including the butcher's apron owned by Vossin, had human blood upon them, not animal blood, as Vossin had claimed. From the Pall Mall Gazette, the 13th of December 1917, the Regent Square murder. How Madame Gerard's death was caused. Louis Vincent, aged 50, and Bertha Ross, aged 38, of Charlotte Street, were brought up again at Marlborough Street Police Court today in connection with the murder of Emmeline Gerard, whose mutilated body was found in Regent Square Gardens on November the 2nd. Dr. Salisbury, the pathologist to St. Mary's Hospital, gave the result of examination of the remains. He said the severing of the limbs indicated some skill in disjointing bodies. Abrasions and bruises which he found on the limbs were inflicted before death. He could find no indication in the trunk of the cause of death. Describing the injuries to the head, Dr. Spilsbury said he found a large area of bruising. The cheekbone was fractured beneath this wound, and the bone of the orbit was fractured in two places. On the head were three deep wounds. Death was mainly due to loss of blood, but partly asphyxia had either preceded or accompanied the infliction of the injuries. There were many blows, evidently by a blunt instrument, and delivered with fairly considerable force. He concluded that the woman survived the injuries for half an hour. Bloodstains, which were found in Voisin's house in Charlotte Street and in Madame Gerard's house in Munster Square, were those of human blood. The case was further adjourned for a fortnight. Voisin himself is a strongly built man, and it is thought that if he had made the blow to Madame Gerard's head, it would not have taken three blows to kill her. With this evidence, attention is drawn to Bertha Roche. The night of the murder, London had been undergoing air raid alarms. Madame Gerard was known to be highly nervous during air raids. Could she, in her panic, have gone unannounced to Vossin's basement for safety, only to unexpectedly find another living there? Bertha Roche. From the Pall Mall Gazette, the 2nd of January 1918, Regent Square murder. Accused man's statement in court, sent for trial. A sensational statement was made at Marlborough Police Court today by Louis-Marie Joseph Voisin, aged 50, stableman, who, with Bertha Ross, aged 30, housekeeper, is charged with the willful murder of Madame Emmeline Gerard at 101 Charlotte Street, Fitzroy Square, between October the 31st and November the 2nd. Voisin, after the usual magisterial caution, said, "I wish to make a statement. Madame Roche is entirely innocent." On hearing this, Roche leant her head on the dock rail and burst into sobs. Voisin added, "I wish to say that she's absolutely innocent and that all the things found at 101 Charlotte Street were taken from Madame Gerard's to my house. The murder was not committed at Charlotte Street, but at Regent Munster Square." Chief Detective Inspector Wensley said Voisin accepted the invitation to write the words "Bloody Belgium," and his inaccuracies in spelling were similar to those on the piece of brown paper with the same words found on Madame Gerard's body. The inspector thought the handwriting was the same. Remarking anybody could write the same, Voisin inquired if the writing should be submitted to other persons to judge. The magistrate responded that the writing will be submitted to 12 other persons who will form a judgment upon it. The case goes to trial against Voisin. Despite the prosecution's hazy theory of the initial crime of beating Madame Gerard actually having been committed by Bertha Roche, she is only charged as an accessory before and after the fact. Her trial is placed on hold while the full brunt of the murder charge is placed on Voisin. Given the evidence and the expert dismemberment of the body made, as well as the warm letters, the jewellery that has been owned by Madame and Monsieur Gerard in the hands of Voisin, and the IOU, the jury has little difficulty finding Voisin guilty. From the Pall Mall Gazette, 18th of January 1918, Voisin guilty, the murder of Madame Gerard. At the Old Bailey this afternoon, Louis-Marie Joseph Voisin, aged 50, was found guilty of the murder of Madame Gerard and was sentenced to death. In his defence, Mr. May had suggested that the theory most consistent with the facts was that the prisoner, as the result of weakness or panic, or possibly because he wished to shield somebody else, had been betrayed into a course of concealment which had ended in his having to meet this charge. Mr. Justice Darling, in his summing up, said, "There has been no evidence which would justify the verdict being reduced to any other. It would have to be a verdict of guilty or not guilty on the charge of murder only." What was Voisin doing on the night when it was alleged the murder was committed? In the statements which were made, there were serious discrepancies, and it was wise that he did not enter the witness box. Roche did not go into the box either, and when persons accused of a serious crime did not offer explanations, they must only blame themselves if the inferences were drawn. Voisin appeals, mostly on the basis of legal technicalities, with an impugnation of foreigner prejudice, but the appeal is immediately dismissed. Voisin's execution is delayed whilst the trial of Madame Bertha Roche takes place. From the Pall Mall Gazette, 2nd of March 1918, Madame Roche's trial, alleged accessory in the sack murder case. Madame Bertha Roche, aged 39, pleaded not guilty. The Old Bailey today, when placed upon her trial, charged with being an accessory after the fact of the murder of Madame Gerard, whose mutilated remains were found in a sack in Regent Square. Voisin, Frenchman, had been sentenced to death in connection with the crime. The court was crowded, very large numbers of women being present. Every seat in the public gallery was occupied. Mr. E. D. Muir said the case for prosecution was that the prisoner did certain things which tended to delay or prevent Voisin being brought to justice. It was sufficient for the jury to come to their verdict apart from the question of motive. Counsel went into the details of the case and called attention to the fact that articles of jewellery belonging to the murdered woman were found upon the accused. Bertha Roche is found guilty and sentenced to 7 years' imprisonment. Voisin is hanged at Pentonville Prison on the 2nd of March 1918. Roche is sent to prison but is quickly deemed insane and sent to a mental institution. She dies there not long after, on the 22nd of March, 1919. That concludes this episode of Murderous Mondays, the Regent Square murder. We very much hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy this show, we would be grateful if you could like or subscribe to our channel. We upload 5 days a week. Mondays are murderous as we delve into the dark side of Regency and Victorian crime. Wednesdays are wicked, where we pull together stories with a similar theme, such as Doctors of Death. Fridays are frightful, where we look at crimes in a location, such as stories from the stage to murder and scandal in the aristocracy. Saturdays is Serial Killer Saturdays, where we investigate serial killer stories from the past. On the last Sunday of the month, we offer a 2-hour compilation of stories based around a theme. If you like this channel, you may be interested in our sister channel, Chronicle of the Times, where we offer a lighter side of Victorian and Edwardian news stories, as well as a weekly podcast of stories from authors of the day, such as Dickens, Collins, Benson, and Conan Doyle. Thank you again for watching and listening. This has been News of the Times, and I am Robin Coles.